Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, a man who is not hungover, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Loving life, living the dream at the minute, Conor. I've never felt better about a show in my life. It's going to be a good one. Top 10. Top 10 is just going to be this episode, actually.
I think so. So, some people might say in a friendship, you say, oh man, that's real bad. But you jumped onto the call with such an energy of just a man who's just, oh lads, I just want some fried food and a couch.
It's all I need. It's all I want.
And what we will say is we are recording this on Sunday, so we will not see the Super Bowl trailers.
I'm not hungover on a Monday. Like,
he doesn't have a problem in that way, but he has other problems. But we are not going to be able to see the Super Bowl trailers, unfortunately. Yes. So we will get to them next week. But Sean, there is still lots of news this week, and we do have one big trailer, which when this episode comes out will feel like it's old news because of all the other trailers, but there was a Fast X trailer this week, Sean, and I know you love that series.
I was chomping at the bit to see what is done in Fast X as a film. And the trailer gives us a sneak peek of what that might be.
I think this might be the best week ever in that you'll get the true Sean. So, like, I know you come on here and you pretend. You play a part of a man who loves
it's
life.
It's all been an act up until now.
And is happy and jolly. But up until now, we're going to find the true Sean. And I think it really is going to be character building. If this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything. But if it's at least your second, we'd really prefer just even maybe some sort of 5-star rating, a thumbs up. I don't know how it works on other platforms.
Some Disprin, if possible. a load of Dioralite, maybe.
I just need hydration. Does anyone have a bottle of water?
Just any liquid, not sparkling water. I'm not a monster.
But sparkling water, you put a bit of, like, my waddy in that. You've got a fizzy drink on your hands, pal.
No, because the base water is already fucked by the carbonation, Conor.
Okay.
And I know the benefits of effervescent hydration more than anyone. But
I'm just going to ask the question before we get into the news, Sean. What were you drinking last night?
Wine. Wine, in fact.
Oh, bit
of Pinot Gris.
Pinot Rough, you are today.
Quite rough.
So, Sean, it's a perfect week to hit you with some great news that I'm sure you're going to have a lot of positive energy about due to the fact that you're perfectly hydrated and running at full capacity. We are starting this week, Sean, with Disney. A company that obviously owns nearly everything in the movie universe, but this week decided that they were going to start launching a few movies they felt everyone needs to see. And we're going to touch on the second one later on, but first and foremost, I wanted to start this week with the big news that Toy Story 5 is in the works at Disney, Sean.
Who wants this?
I'm actually glad I put this first, because I think before you would have been like, ah, that's kind of weird, but okay, but now we're going to get like, this is fucked.
I am of the opinion, I don't think I'm alone in this, Toy Story should have ended after Toy Story 3.
Perfect ending. That was perfectly rounded story.
That's when everyone stopped caring as well. Then Toy Story 4 was grand, and I think that ends with Woody leaving the toys, like leaving the group of toys, right?
Yes, I think so.
He goes off with Bo Peep to like have a toy life or some shit.
The issue is that Toy Story 4 earned over $1 billion, and Disney, I don't know if you know this about the mouse, but he will squeeze every bit of fucking life out of anything to get a few more billions.
Well, it's sort of thinking pay all of their VFX and editing.
No. Oh, it's for the guy at the top to get more.
I see. The rich get richer and it trickles down eventually, of course.
Eventually. A really long time from now.
And also, like, and that's like 1.1 billion in movie sales. But then the revenue, like the Lego sets and the plush toys and the action figures, those all sell like hotcakes as well.
Oh,
they sell like hotcakes anymore. but you
I think you're
going
to say a few phrases that you haven't said for years here.
Yeah, I've been teleported back to the old west. Like,
your brain is working on a different platform.
It really is. It really, really is. It's about to crash any minute now.
Let's see if we can make it crash. Yay!
This all comes back, like, a lot of the stories and a lot of my indignation can be summed up with, like, yeah, but it makes money, you know? Yeah. Like, it might not be, I might like to see things diverted into more original projects or, like, a new thing, but making another Toy Story movie will probably make another $1 billion.
Also, so did you forget that we also had Lightyear last year? So Lightyear came out less than a year ago.
That's true, and that didn't do very well. But now Buzz is going to have to stand on his own.
See, Lightyear was a movie within the universe, so it's not really part of the universe.
Lightyear the movie is the movie that Andy watched and then wanted a Buzz Lightyear toy.
True.
I'm pretty sure is how that works.
Toy Story
out.
5 can now bring back all the old gag again for one more run, which... I suppose Toy Story 3 still exists, but it's stories like this that I think, especially for people our age, we're kind of like, lads, it's done. And I don't think a 10-year-old really gives a shit. Like, they're like, oh yeah, it's Toy Story. But we probably just have more, I don't know, emotional connection to this, that we're just like, lads, like, Toy Story 3 was the perfect end. Why are we doing this?
The thing about it as well is that, like, Toy Story 3 ended, lovely, great ending, really, really liked it. But then Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, Connor, and you play a Toy Story level. And it's this whole, like, Kingdom Hearts are all about finding hearts. That's a very reductive statement, but that's basically what it's
about. Is it normally in a kingdom?
Don't ask me what Kingdom Hearts is, no one knows. Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's a physical door. Sometimes it's a big heart in the sky.
Interesting.
No one's really quite sure.
Let's tell you what you do. Right, in your current state, I'd like you to spend about 10 minutes reading the Wikipedia and explaining each point to all of us about Kingdom Hearts and all of its lore.
I don't need the Wikipedia, is the issue here.
That's
all up here. It's all up there, man. I'll do it someday. Hero or Zero, you are fucked.
I'm kind of sad we don't have a Hero or Zero and you don't get to, like, do a report.
I will break down Kingdom Hearts in half an hour on Hero or Zero someday.
I don't think anyone needs that.
No, No, I need your response to this. It's happening. It's definitely it's going to be a five-parter, honestly. But in Kingdom Hearts, you're looking for hearts and you go to Toy Story World, right? Because it's a popular Disney franchise.
Yeah.
And it's this whole discussion and commentary about how, what, like, how do the toys have a heart? They're made in a factory, they don't have a heart, but they have a heart because children believe that they have hearts. And that's what it's about, and it's a lovely, lovely message.
Mm.
But none of that kind of stuff is going to be touched on in Toy Story 5.
No.
It'll be, look what Slinky Pig's getting up to.
No,
Slinky Dog, sorry.
The issue with this is that Bob Iger, Disney CEO, he then said that obviously this is your, again, this is your favourite thing in the world, Sean, a Q1 earnings call.
Oh, fuck, I love cinema.
So in a Q1 earnings call, he's being asked, but Disney's not making enough billions. What do we gotta do, Bob? And so Bob says, we'll have more to share about these productions, but we are doing Toy Story 5 soon, and it's a great example of how we're leaning into our unrivaled brands and franchises.
Oh my god. That's partly hangover and partly listening to Bob Iger talk.
Toy Story 4 earned 2 Oscar nominations, just to let you know. Best Original Song and Best Animated Feature. But Best Original Song was written by Randy Newman, so that is cheating. If Randy Newman writes some, it will be nominated.
And also, you pay your fucking animators is another statement. Again, just to hammer that home.
Seriously, guys. Just pay them.
Give all the money in the... $1.1 billion, that movie made.
Like, if I had $1 billion and you were like, oh, can I have $10,000? I'd be like, man, that's literally not... Yeah. Yeah, cool.
That's the thing.
Go for it.
The interest alone, you'd be covered. You'd be grand. Also, the meme going around of Woody going, hole up, let him cook.
Yes.
That's just from Kingdom Hearts 3. That's where that scene originally came from.
Oh, okay. Because I've been using that a lot.
See Sora. Oh, I love, hole up, let him cook is one of my favourite things that has come out in the last month.
So, Sean, you're saying you were really interested in a Toy Story 5 and you're very much looking forward to squeezing this juice out of this thing that really should have ended 2 movies ago.
Yeah, why not? Just go against everything I've said up until now.
You know, I've thought about it, and I'm actually going against myself.
I've weighed up my own points, and then the Q1 shareholders really turned me around.
See, that's the problem. Like, once it comes to the Q1 shareholders call, you're going to have to realise you're in the wrong. Like, those Q1 shareholders.
It's February, though.
That's true, actually. Normally Q1 ends in March. It's a bit fucking early.
Yeah. What's going on there? You're taking some time off, lads.
How are they dividing their queues? What kind of queue division is going on there?
How many quarters are there in a year?
They've done 5. Okay, Q1 is February and January for no reason.
And then March to December, that's Q2.
Q2. The Q2 call is in November.
That way we can only pay people for half a year.
Okay, we're going to move on. Sean, we're moving on to a news story that is kind of related, well, it actually kind of is related, to Into the Spider-Verse. He's back in. If you remember Into the Spider-Verse, there was a little-known character played by a little-known actor who won an Oscar, but nobody could decide if he's good or bad as an actor. That is Mr. Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Now, he did steal the Declaration of Independence that one time as well.
Did kidnap the president.
He kidnapped the president. That is against the law. I don't want to come out strong, but that, I think, is against the law. But he also played Spider-Man Noir. Into the Spider-Verse, we have now found out that Amazon are going to be doing a Spider-Man Noir live action series, and it's coming to Amazon as reported by Variety.
This is one of the most conflicting stories I've ever heard.
You love Spider-Man. You love Into the Spider-Verse.
Love Into the Spider-Verse.
The untitled series will follow an older grizzled superhero in the 1930s New York City. An individual with knowledge of the project says that the show will be set in its own universe and the main character will not be Peter Parker.
Interesting. So you're Is Spider-Man Noir Peter Parker? That's something I should probably...
I'm pretty positive he's not, in general. Maybe he's a different version of Peter Parker.
Spider-Man Noir. Let me have a look. Peter Parker.
Oh, he is. Like, cool.
He's a Peter Parker. So I guess you're experiencing it through someone who's not Peter Parker then. You just see his exploits, which is probably cheaper.
Yeah. The show is also, by the way, to let you know, Oren Uziel will serve as the writer and executive producer, but he developed the show along with Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and former Sony boss Amy Pascal, who will executive produce. Amy Pascal has been executive producer on literally every Spider-Man project, going back to Tobey Maguire. Okay. She's very heavily involved in all that stuff. Then you have Lord and Miller, who everyone knows and loves as the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse directors, very talented human beings. But if the three of them are on board to work with Uziel, and they're going to bring this to Amazon, I think that lends a lot of credence that this could be good.
It could be good, and it could be like an interesting take on a superhero genre. Like something we, you know, haven't actually seen before, maybe.
They're
like, a 1930s crime story.
Yeah.
Like, that's class, but put Spider-Man in it. That's why those comics are so good.
They also said that they are currently working on Silk, Spider Society, at the same time. So that is on Amazon as well. So a lot of these appear to be going to Amazon rather than Disney Plus, which is weird.
That's going to be the Sony-owned Spider-Man characters.
And Sony don't have their own streaming service, and they don't want to send it to Disney Plus because then Marvel kind of own it. So they're like, fuck you, we're going to put it out on Amazon.
Yeah, it's a very strange, convoluted system that they have going there.
Mm.
However, I still want to see Spider. Like, it presumably wouldn't be Nicolas Cage, right?
No, I don't think so. I think Nicolas Cage isn't coming back for Into the Spider-Verse 2, as far as I know. And if it's live action, I think you kind of have to go younger. It'd be very funny if they cast Tom Holland.
That would be great. Or cast Tom Holland's brother.
Yes. What's he called? He's probably called like Jim Holland or something. Frank. Oh,
you keep guessing.
He's probably got an old style. He's got an old style British name. I'm gonna go with who? Bill. What's his name?
He's got Harry, Paddy, and Sam.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Harry. It's definitely Harry.
Harry is an actor as well. He was in. He's been in a lot of stuff that Tom Holland is also in. To be fair, but yeah, give it to him. Why not? He could pull it off.
So in terms of Uziel, he has recently worked on the screenplay for these several products: The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum from last year. That was a movie that came and apparently it was kind of good. He's also worked on 22 Jump Street, the Mortal Kombat film, and the Cloverfield Paradox.
Which one is that? The good one?
No, I think Paradox. Oh, is that the second one?
Cloverfield Lane is the second John Goodman
one. Oh, well, then Cloverfield Paradox is space. So that's not the good one.
No, that's not the good one. Oh, shit. Not looking good.
22 Jump Street, though. My name is Jeff.
Pretty good.
He wrote that.
He wrote that line.
I assume. I don't know, but I think he probably maybe had some involvement with it.
He was certainly on set the day.
He was definitely there. He was definitely there. Now, I mean, Spider-Man Noir, if you don't know, it debuted in the comics in 2009 as part of the Marvel Noir universe, right? Which is the iconic superhero lives in New York during the Great Depression, and he is bitten by a spider hidden inside a stolen artifact, causing him to have visions of a spider god who grants him superpowers.
I mean, great fun, right? Do you think they'll broach... I mean, the Spider-God stuff kind of works with what Sony is doing, because they're doing the Madam Web and the Silk and everything like that. The Web of Life and Destiny, as I'm sure you know, Connor.
I mean, you don't have to explain that to me, but anyone else, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, all the Spider-Men and women and all the Spider-People are all connected by the Web of Life and Destiny, and it's Destiny that you're bitten by the Spider.
That is
the Spider bit Peter Parker, right?
I don't...
What if he knew what he was doing?
I'm not a fan of Destiny plots. I don't really like it when they're like, you're all connected to a bigger thing. No matter what happens, you were going to get bitten.
It's what happened. Remember Amazing Spider-Man 2 when he has magic spider blood and he's the only one that can be Spider-Man. Spider-Man's cool because Peter Parker isn't special.
No.
He just... Something happens and he makes the best of things.
I think they get too bogged down and like, there's now we've got a lot of people with spider powers. Maybe there should be some higher god that they all answer to, which is a spider god.
Yeah, and some of that stuff is interesting, but most of it is unnecessary.
Now, the last Sony based hero thing we've seen is, of course, Morbius.
True.
And the one before that was Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So they are on a bit of a streak right now with absolute all killer, no filler. I'm interested.
We've got Kraven coming up as well.
And Kraven is coming up. And El Muerte. That's pretty good.
El Muerto, Connor, please.
Sorry, I apologise. But Sean, what do we think of Spider-Noir getting his own series? A live action noir series.
Of all the Sony things that have been announced, I think it's the one I'm most looking forward to now.
It seems the most weird.
Yeah, but it's also the most removed from.
Yeah.
This weird fucking semi-multiverse Morbius knows the Vulture, who knows Tom Holland Spider-Man, but he doesn't exist in the universe. So why is Spider-Man involved at all in the Sony universe?
And
this is in the 1930s, so it's fine.
And I think the fact that Lord Miller and Amy Pascal are all involved, really good sign. Really strong sign that this could actually be good. Because the three of them, if they get involved with something to do with spider people... Normally, it's pretty strong. I'm not going to say they're going to get involved with something that's shit. They're going to try to make it as good as possible as whatever they have.
I would say so. And like, it's Amazon having it as well is kind of interesting. They do offbeat superhero stuff quite well.
Do you know who I could see playing them?
Who?
Channing Tatum.
Honestly, yeah, that might work.
I mean, Uziel, he's worked on The Lost City. Who's in that? Channing Tatum. 22 Jump Street. Who's in that? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Two pretty big movies. Seems to be like someone that he can rely on. I actually can see Channing Tatum in this role of like a noir Spider-Man.
That would actually be really, really cool. I would love to see that happen.
Mm.
And Channing Tatum's getting back in the game as
he's
well.
Back,
you know?
He's back in the big way. You know what I mean?
The Chanisance.
It's a renaissance. Sean, so yeah, I just wanted to say Spider-Man Noir is going to be getting his own series. Probably not for another few years, but the fact that they're doing it is a weird surprise in a positive way.
Yeah, and I'd love to see it. I would love to see it, Connor.
That's the most positive reaction you've ever had to one of my stories. But Sean, we've gone to our next piece of news. And I have some sad news, a rumour that was then quelled, but... I'm kind of worried because I have Keanu Reeves' Constantine sequel may not be happening after all and may have been cancelled by DC Studios. Now, that rumour originally came out earlier on this week. Then, yesterday, the rumour has since been debunked by Warner Brothers as they have said they are continuing forward with the Constantine sequel. Sean, who do we believe, DC or DC?
Well, I think DC... Well, but see, now we have context. So we know the DCU, that slate that's happening, that's being announced, and we know the roadmap for that. So the Constantine film, sequel, in fact, is pretty much confirmed to be an Elseworlds story now. So,
and James Gunn never said anything about Constantine 2 being put in Elseworlds. Like, he said Joker 2, he said the Batman 2... There was never any mention that Keanu Reeves' Constantine was also in Elseworlds or in the main universe.
Well, that's true, but I don't think he needs to list everything that is possibly in Elseworlds. When Constantine
true, but if you
like
have
it's
Keanu
a very
Reeves,
rough early draft.
I think if you have Keanu Reeves coming back as Constantine and it's signed on, I think you probably announce that.
I think you would have to... You wouldn't make a Constantine announcement before the Super Bowl trailer for The Flash, which is coming out.
Interesting.
Like, you wouldn't introduce any new DC Elseworlds element until The Flash has had its moment in the spotlight.
Do you want to do a moment here where we predict what will happen in all of those trailers?
I'm going to say, running fast, barrier too quick. You can't save everyone. Oh dear,
there's a man who's quicker.
Oh, things are weird. Someone's faster than the Flash. What? And then ending shot, because no one really cares about the Flash in this movie.
Yeah,
ending
it's
shot.
Bad.
Old school bat signal.
No, I think the ending one, shot. I think they go straight in with Keaton.
You think we're going to see Keaton in this?
I think you're seeing Keaton.
My God.
Yeah.
My God.
I mean, I just feel like Super Bowl trailer, I think it's going to be like the last final shot. Now, none of this could be true. Everyone else listening to this knows if it's true or not. And we may look fucking idiots. But Sean, we looked like that before we began. That's the secret, Cap. Always dumb.
I'm always an idiot.
I just think, like, they probably will, yeah, involve something to do with Batman as the last shot, because, as you said, nobody cares about Ezra and nobody cares about this movie. They're just kind of using it to reset everything and then hopefully go in a different direction that people want to see.
Yeah, and then it'll all be erased, pretty much.
So would you like to see a Constantine too, or are you kind of now on the side?
I want to see Constantine too. I think I still want to see weird fucked up ghost John Wick.
I think that'd be pretty cool. Let him just smoke cigarettes and kill fucking ghosts and demons.
I think I talked about this when we first talked about Constantine too, but I've been listening to, there's a, on Audible, there's a dramatisation of the Sandman, but like from the DC comics, and Constantine is in it, or Constantine as he's called. And he's played by Taron Egerton.
Oh!
He does a very good Constantine. So if everyone wanted to do him in the DCU, I think he could be a good shout.
They did the live action series a few years ago, like around like Arrow.
That dude is good.
That dude's really good. He was really, really good as him. Because like he's just meant to hate everyone, want to kill himself, but then also he's just stopping demons on the side.
He's also the best monster hunter, like demon hunter there is.
So he doesn't care if he dies. So he's just going to try his best.
He's just, yeah. So yeah, Arrow did it really, really well. I remember when he was introduced. He's the coolest guy.
So yeah, I wanted to cover that because we know the rumors out there. Sean, hand on heart, is it happening or not happening? We've heard it's not. And then they confirmed it was, but it's the exact same thing with Batgirl. Who are we to believe?
Connor, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just one man here receiving some news. How am I meant to make this call?
It took over 220 weeks. I love the idea of me going, what do you think of that? And you go, seriously, genuinely, I don't know.
I don't know. These studios will decide things amongst themselves. We have no say in the matter. We're just reactionary to all of this.
I was just trying to start a bit of chat.
We had a chat. We had a whole 10-minute chat about it just there.
And then I wanted to finalise it with maybe just one final question, just in your opinion. I wasn't putting you under
Why
the fucking spotlight.
Why do I have to make the call?
It's not a yes or no. It's not an interrogation. I was just wondering.
It's a yes or no. You ask a yes or no question.
Yeah, but sure.
Your life isn't coming back.
All I'm saying, hungover boy, is do you think it's going to happen or not?
Don't bring that into things. Don't bring that into things. All right. That doesn't colour my judgment at all.
I just think you're feeling distress.
Look, okay, it's definitely happening there.
Jesus, wow, you've come really hard on that. Okay, right, so everyone now knows it's happening. Wow, that's fucking, you're going to look a fool.
Yeah, and I
stake
the reputation of the Heroes for Hire podcast on that statement.
That was so funny. How do I know?
What? I get the news the same time as you do, but
I'm just a normal man. I'm just an innocent man.
Just normal man. Just innocent
man. Sean, we're moving on to our next piece of news, and this involves a 90s horror reboot of a movie that nobody really remembers, but it's happening. Scream, of course, is back in a big way.
Yeah, in a big way. Doing pretty well.
Did you see that video of Ghostface? Someone like has the Ghostface Twitter account, and someone put together a video of like all the times that Ghostface gets the shit kicked out of him in the movies, and it's like 90 seconds long, and he just goes, "Who did this?" And he just like posted it, and it's so funny because it's just like him just constantly like falling over chairs or like getting doors slammed in his face
the whole time.
Just like failing miserably to kill people. But Sean, what another 90s horror flick that everyone remembers and loves, with actually, to be fair, all-star cast in the 90s included Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, I Know What You Did Last Summer. A sequel is in the works with the original cast returning to act in it.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, that's... Is it a remake or a sequel?
Sorry, it's a sequel. I actually misspoke earlier on. It's not a remake or a reboot. It's a sequel. So it's very similar to what they did with Scream, in that you it's a kind of soft reboot. You bring back all the old cast, but then you introduce newer people as well. And then we have to stop the killer one more time. If I can't remember what happened, it's just kind of the plot of the first Scary Movie. So what happens is it's a group of friends, they cover up what they think was like a fatal car accident, and then they find themselves being stalked 1 year later by a hook-handed killer who's always like, "I know what you did last summer," when you covered that murder. It already had two sequels, but now they're getting all of the returning cast members from the first one back.
Yeah, the sequel, "I Still Know What You Did Last Summer."
I don't think everyone returned for that one.
And a direct-to-video sequel in 2006 called "I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer."
What's the next one? So, "I Still Know, I'll Always Know, I'll Forever Know"?
In 2021, a television series was released.
A Prime Video also aired a short-lived series based on the franchise, yes, but none of the original people were in it.
My God. And then the villain here never got like the fame and acclaim of like Jason Voorhees or Ghostface or anyone like that, did he?
No, I don't even know. Did he have a name?
Ben Willis. He's the fisherman.
He's the fisherman. I don't think that's as famous as all the rest of them in that, like, I mean, a 1997 movie, pretty strong cast, to be fair. Like, all them before they were really big. Like, you had Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr., and Sarah Michelle Gellar. Even just those three alone in 1997. Like, by the year 2000, they're all fucking, like, household names.
And, like, cheap to make as well, these kind of films. And box office smashes, you know, a lot of the time. This is also released in October. So, spooky Halloween movie, there you go.
I think it's pretty good. Like, you see the original Scream movies coming back. Like, they got Courtney Cox back. David Arquette was coming back. I think Neve Campbell was back for the first sequel, like, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And then there was a big hullabaloo. She didn't come back for this one because they didn't want to pay her. But I think they do make a lot of money. If done right. I don't know if I Know What You Did Last Summer has the same fanfare, but I mean, fuck it. Let's just do Sarah Michelle Gellar, Freddie Prinze Jr. again.
Yeah, see, I think I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's like, it's just, it's in so many other, like, it's referenced in so many other things that, like, it's just, it's become this, like, touchstone of, like, oh no, this is how horror movies were made in the 90s.
Would you watch it? A remake?
I think so.
A sequel.
A sequel. I think I would. I'm not the biggest, like, horror guy. Like, I like spooky stuff, but I'm not into like the slashers as much.
No,
does that make sense?
I'll take that. That makes sense. We've discussed that. Like, we would be more so like Get Out, or I try to think of any other movie.
more like psychological thrillers. I'm into. Like The Menu. Watch The Menu.
That's pretty good. Seven? Yeah. That's pretty fucking good.
Seven? Yeah. Seven. Yeah. Seven toss the line, but Seven's good. Seven's really, really good. It's a detective story.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? If I Google psychological thriller, what do you think is the first example of a movie that comes?
Along Came a Spider might come up. That also has Morgan Freeman in it.
It does. You got Us. That's one.
Pretty good.
You got Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, that's
makes sense.
Pretty good.
How did we say that one?
American Psycho, Black Mirror, Parasite.
Ooh, pretty good.
Taxi Driver, Hereditary. Very good. The Machinist, The Lighthouse, the TV series Dexter, Mr. Robot. We're losing it at the end here, aren't we?
They went hard. They went hard for the first five. What else do we have?
Really bringing it down. Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Of course.
The video game Heavy Rain.
I suppose that depends on how you play it, because there's different choices in that game, so you don't know. Maybe it's not a psychological thriller. Maybe it's just...
No, if you mess up all the button prompts, it becomes a slapstick comedy.
I think ultimately you die very quickly. This reminds me, have you watched The Last of Us?
Oh, I'm watching The Last of Us. I haven't watched the one that came out on Friday.
Oh, I watched it.
I'll do that after this show.
I watched it. It's so fucking good,
episode
man.
Episode 3, though.
Episode 3 is like the best episode, but 4, I think, is like a good setup. 5, we're back up to like 9.9. Like, it's unreal.
No, oh, lads. Oh, HBO are back at it. They stumbled hard one time, but they're back at it.
Let them cook, I say.
Let them cook. Let them reheat.
So, Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news, and this involves Deadpool 3, in which we now know that not only has Hugh Jackman to be been told, obviously, he's making his return in Deadpool 3. Mm. But Patrick Stewart has now come out and said he's been told to stand by for another Professor X return in the movie.
I'd rather this didn't happen. I really would. It's also Scupper's one of my main theories, I feel.
What was the main theory?
My theory is that Deadpool kidnaps the actor Hugh Jackman and forces him to pretend to be Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, thought that's the route they would take.
There's also the little problem that Patrick Stewart's Professor X has died 3 times now on the screen, which...
More than that, surely.
X-Men The Last Stand, he died in Logan, and he died in Doctor Strange.
X-Men The Last Stand, Logan, Doctor Strange. He's died another time, surely.
I don't think so. I think he's got those 3.
I thought he had 4. Maybe I must be wrong.
He's been like mind paralyzed for several movies as well.
Oh, like X2, he got poisoned in the brain.
He was in a dream sequence for a long time, like in his brain. X1? How did it wipe him out of X1?
That's it. Watching Xavier die in 4 horrifying ways.
Go on.
X-Men The Last Stand, exploded by Jean Grey.
True.
X-Men Days of Future Past. Technically, he dies, but it gets reset.
True. True.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And then Logan, where he is stabbed through the chest.
Now, only 3 of them are Patrick Stewart, though. So technically, I am correct. So that one of them was James McAvoy.
No, Patrick Stewart is in Days of Future Past, my friend.
He dies, yes.
He dies. There's a bit where they all break through and then they have to go back in time and save everyone.
It's all there.
The Sentinels laser him in the face.
Are we saying we bring him back again just to kill him again?
He's definitely got to die again, right? He's hardly.
I think he either needs to be mind wiped, he needs to be put into some sort of brain dream, or killed and get exploded, I hope.
What do you think it is? Like, do they do that? Like, is this more incursion stuff that, like, universes are colliding together? Professor X knows about this. He decides to send the only 2 people capable of surviving, which are Logan and Deadpool, because of their healing factors.
So
that they can warn other universes and then set up secret wars, Connor.
I did read that Deadpool 3 is apparently meant to very heavily lead into secret wars.
It's got to be the incursions that's happening.
I assume so. It's all the universe hopping, which would include the 2 of them universe hopping. As you said, they're the only 2 people that can survive. Makes sense that they sent the 2 of them rather than anyone else. I could also see this just being literally a cameo, that he's just in it for 2 seconds when Hugh Jackman's like, I'm heading out, Professor. And he's just like, alright, cool, hurry back.
Maybe. They could do it like alternate universe Professor X comes and warns him that this is happening. And maybe it's an alternate universe Wolverine, who's exactly the same, except Logan hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, because technically this is in the past. Because Logan is in like 2030 something.
It's in the future, definitely, but I'm not sure how.
Actually, it might be less. Maybe like the 2020s.
When is Logan set? Is it this year?
Oh, it might be this year, is it?
Logan is 2029.
Oh, 2029. Okay, cool. They have another few years before he technically becomes that, but that's not going to be this universe. Oh, man, movies are confusing. How are we going to do this?
The sooner we just wipe all of this clean, the better.
The sooner we all just go back to reading, the better.
The sooner we put the children back in the mines, the better.
What if... What we said, would you like to see Patrick Stewart return?
Or no, I didn't want him in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, true. I thought he had
such a good fucking ending. And
he was so shit in Doctor Strange, man.
That whole scene makes me so mad.
Yeah.
It's just the most patronising scene that's ever been put in the film. It's just
the most patronising scene.
It's the most... Knives out, no. You did the best one.
it's just like, I'm going to use my brain. Oh, man, I died.
Oh, no, I got my neck snapped in my head.
In my head with someone in real life? Wow, Wanda's real strong.
It's just, at least, look. Yeah, I think you're right that it will probably be just a cameo. I don't think he's in it for the whole film.
I'm just asking your opinion. Who's in comic books? I'm assuming, like, Professor X, incredibly strong. Wanda way stronger.
It scales depending on times. Usually what happens is Professor X puts a dampener on Wanda's powers. Same, the Jean Grey approach, because that always works so well.
Right.
Then Wanda discovers this and flips out and overcomes it.
I like the idea that every time he encounters like a really powerful female character, he's like damping them down. This won't go badly at all.
Just any female character.
It's just really sexist.
You're at, I don't know, 10% of your power. Just
make them a little worse. Little worse than me.
Just on the subject of this, I'll never do Heroes Eryx. It's a short character. But there is a character, there's a mutant called Forget-Me-Not. And his mutant power is that once you look away from him, you forget he exists. But he's a hero. He just helps people. Canonically, he's been in the X-Men from the start, but no one ever remembers him.
That's fantastic.
And Professor X has set basically a psychic alarm in his own head to every 15 minutes remind him that Forget-Me-Not exists.
That's fucking mad. Imagine that being your power.
It's twisted. And like, it would be so easy to be a villain and just live the life whatever you want, but he decides to be a hero.
Why do we not have movies about this guy?
He's really cool. There's a really good... I'll send you...
Might be the name. He should be called something else.
Memento or some shit like
Ooh,
that.
Oh, Amnesia Kid.
Amnesia Lad.
Amnesia Lad.
Magnesia.
Magnesia. I would watch a movie about Magnesia.
Sooner than I would watch Toy Story.
Maybe I already have.
who could say?
Oh, shit. So we're moving on, Sean, to our next piece of news. And it's more follow-up to Bob Iger's Disney's Q1 earnings call. I knew you were thinking maybe there was more news. Maybe we had more sequels. Well, not only are we having a Toy Story 5 sequel, we are also getting a Frozen 3 sequel. Sean, yes, let's milk these.
Let's just milk it. I heard a thing, the Frozen 2... They just apparently animated a load of scenes. And up until about a month or two before the movie, they didn't know what the plot was.
It's in the... they did, like, the making of Frozen 2. And, like, they're 6 months out before the movie's to be released. Like, say May is meant to be released. So this is December. They just literally have, like, millions of... Or, like, not millions, but thousands of, like, small shots. Of, like, we don't know what the plot is. We'll just make it up now.
It's animating things that kind of tie together, I guess.
You're just, like, animating her walking somewhere. Animate Olaf saying something. We'll just put it together. We'll make sure that makes all sense later on.
We can just animate it again. That's easy, right?
Yeah, that's... Animation is, like, a day. Day two tops.
Yeah, so just don't sleep. Be fine.
The second one, by the way, grossed $1.45 billion. So, and the franchise itself has made Disney nearly $3 billion with two movies. So, Sean, I mean, mad that they were going to do it, but also, you could just milk these for, like, Frozen fucking 10, surely.
Yeah, like, maybe it's because I don't have as much attachment to it, but Frozen 3 makes me less, like, I'm less viscerally against that one.
I think it might just be literally the emotional nostalgia towards it. Because Toy Story 3, I came out with, like, for us anyway, at, like, the perfect time of, like, cool.
We were just in college, like, oh, okay, yeah. This is, like, it's lining up with my own life. And exactly. Then close the book on that. You know, that's finished. I've emotionally dealt with that.
Whereas Frozen 1, Frozen 2, we were past that. But there's probably people that were the perfect age that are like, wow, amazing. Frozen 3 is coming out. Can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, like, and that's fine. Like, it's someone's favourite series, you know. It makes someone very, very happy. Mm. So, like, yeah, whatever. And it'll probably make another billion.
Easy.
And Disney and Pixar, and I like, the mix between those two companies confuses me sometimes. But there is, they do put out a bunch of stuff anyway that isn't Frozen 3, you know?
Mm. And I think what happened was recently they released a movie called Strange World. Did you hear about that?
I did. I saw like ads for it and stuff like that, but I didn't.
Literally, I would say like, so they didn't promote it whatsoever. Like this movie.
I saw ads. I saw it on the page of Disney Plus. That's it. Yeah,
like literally, they did not promote it whatsoever. And so I think what's happened is they've now like pivoted completely. So they released Strange World as a way to be like, we're going to release this movie. I think this could be good, but never promote it. And so obviously it makes no money. So it grossed like, I think less than like $75 million worldwide, yeah. Right? And it was rushed over to Disney Plus to save face. But then what happens is they're like, well, clearly these new movies don't work. Because, I mean, these unique movies that we're writing don't work. Let's just do the sequels again. But
yeah.
They never gave the other one a fair chance. So it's kind of weird. I think the way is now they're like, oh, we spent a lot of money, didn't make anything. Right, what's bankable? What can we release? Toy Story 5, Frozen 3. They're going to make easy money for us. We can make back the profits.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, justify it then. And... like, it would be cool to just see them market the movies they make properly.
Or, like, the movies that aren't just white people making yeah. in the movie. I think maybe you could promote them a little bit more. Just, why not?
Why not? Exactly.
Have you seen the cast of Strange World? It's actually a pretty strong cast as
it's
well.
Actually, yeah, it looks really, really good. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal, Dennis Quaid, Lucy Liu, Gabrielle Union, Alan fucking Tudyk. In yeah. this, Connor.
Yeah, it's a really strong cast.
It's like it's really, really good, and it's just I'm saying all this. I will probably never watch Strange World. Like this is the thing.
But also before that, they had Encanto, which is another movie that they released. Didn't make as much money as they wanted it to make, but obviously pretty memorable for all the songs.
Fucking class. Yeah.
Yeah, Encanto's amazing. So like. I don't think they're looking for good movies at this point. I think they're now just like, we're going to release it. Oh, it was a good movie, but it only made like $200 million. Okay, well, if we release Frozen, that'll make $1.5 billion. So we're just going to release that again. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Just make the same thing again and then sell merch.
Yeah. Okay, so we're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean. And this is, I'm going to go with a rumour. But it kind of goes along with some talks that we were already having in that a major dead Avenger is maybe set to return in an upcoming MCU film. Sean, who are we talking about here?
We talking about Robert Downey Jr. in Armor Wars?
We're talking about RDJ, not in Armor Wars, but in Secret Wars. So apparently... Okay. The rumour states that not only could we be having RDJ coming back to the Marvel Universe, it would be Earth 616's Tony Stark, but it will be Earth 838's Tony Stark. An unseen member of the 838 Illuminati may be coming back, which would be RDJ's Tony Stark.
Okay. So it sounds like they're doing, I think is it Ultimate Iron Man it's called? He's basically he's Tony Stark on steroids. Like, he's so smart. He cured Daredevil's blindness just because he could, and then he took it away just because he could.
Fucking
he's fucked up. He's a monster. So that could be a way to bring him back but keep him different enough. if there was ever a time to bring him back, it's probably Secret Wars, to be fair.
Mm.
And have him playing, like, negative Tony Stark.
Do you, but, like, I just feel, like, and I think this might be, like, my old man vibe of just, like, just let him die. Just, like, I know, in fact, RDJ don't need that money. So why are we doing this? Just for the trailer. Just for, like, the cheap pop.
It is. It definitely is. You could write, like, you could write it in such a way that, like, you might need him, actually, because Secret Wars, the reason that there's survivors from the universe is that there are life rafts built between the Ultimate Marvel Universe 1601, I think it is, and then 616. They're like the Reed Richards of both universes build life rafts and save people, right?
Mm.
The Reed Richards of the 838 universe, canonically, spoilers, became spaghetti.
He did actually become a bit of spaghetti, yeah.
There's no one to build the life raft in that universe.
Right, so you're saying RDJ's, like, Tony Stark would be the one to build it.
They might have to use him to build it, is what I'm thinking.
Because there's nobody else smart enough, canonically, in this world they've created.
Yeah, and it was floated a while ago that, like, there is a version of Tony Stark in the comics that is an AI hologram inside of an Iron Man suit. I don't know if they'll go that way, but I would love miserable, old, broken down, bastard of a man Tony Stark to just show up.
See, but
I think that would be funny.
But I don't know if RDJ can pull it off. I think he's got too much charisma. I'd love to see it if he's completely different.
Completely different performance than anything he's ever done. Like
it's not him. Like, it's not him, but it is him. It has his face, but he's basically a Nazi.
not even that hard on the other side of the fence, you know, but just instead of quippy and jokey, he is serious and angry. Like,
all
properly
the time.
Angry all the time. He lost everything, and now he's losing his world.
And he needs to kill people, like, straight out the gate, just in the most horrible way, but, like, saw traps everywhere.
Yeah, make him a villain. If you're going to bring him back, make him a bad guy, I think. Mm.
But, like, I feel like it's, like, genuinely a plot of, like, one of those, like, dramas, like a soap drama of, like, he's dead, but his evil twin has returned and he's evil.
There's a place for that. And, like, you can have, like, I'm trying to find a line between what is comic book bullshit that I like and what is good storytelling in a film that I like.
Mm.
And because I know for a fact I don't like the way they did it in Doctor Strange, which is just show some characters to get a woo in the cinema. I prefer the way they did it in Spider-Verse, or Spider-Man No Way Home, where they had agency and action and things to do in the plot, and the story would have been much different if they weren't there.
Yeah, and what I don't want is, as you said, like, I don't want him just coming back for the cheap pop, but I don't want them sticking around either, in a weird way. Like, I don't want the redemption arc. I want him to die again, but, like, be killed by our heroes.
Yeah.
Or by his own fucking entrapment that he does.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so, there's Molecule Man. We did a Hero or Zero on him a while ago. He's basically a man who's a bomb that was created by ancient gods of the universe to see what would happen. I don't think they're going to go that route. He's one of the reasons why Secret Wars exists and Battleworld exists. I don't think they have enough time to lay that fucking
groundwork. I don't think so, no.
So what if Doctor Doom just has Tony Stark, like, he's keeping Battleworld running, basically. Like, he's under there. He's a weird fucking Orson Welles, like, hermit man, just doing science in the basement, keeping the planet alive, and that's what he does.
But at the same time, I don't want him to come back forever. I think you bring him back, and he's in those two movies, and he's done. Like, he's finished, because it would be so easy for like one of our characters, like, but Tony, on our planet, you're so nice, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to start being good.
Like the way the Loki TV series really fast-tracked just the redemption of Loki.
Yeah, like, I don't want that. I'm just like, just let him be a bastard, an absolutely horrible human being. And then at the end, he gets his just desserts. And we're like, that's not our Tony. Because otherwise, yeah, it's just going to be half and half. Then you just have a Tony.
And the character is like, and look, I'll be honest, Tom Holland Spider-Man should kill him. That's how it should go down. Because he's like, you're not Mr. Stark.
Yeah, Mr. Stark. You're not Mr. Stark. Like, he doesn't feel so good, but he's stabbing him while he says it.
That's the thing. Like, he needs, like, it's not, like, he, oh, it's so good. I don't feel
so good, Mr. Stark, while he's killing him.
No, well, the way Marvel would do it is that Tom Holland would kill him. And then Tony would say as his last line, I don't feel so good.
I don't feel so good. And then, but he also says, but you're not the bad guy. I'm the bad guy.
But also says, oh, fuck me. So, I don't know how much time we have left. But, so, at the end of Secret Wars, Battle World, Peter Parker Spider-Man and Miles Morales Spider-Man go down to the Beyonder. And they're the reason that the universe gets reset, because they talk to him, right? Peter Parker and Miles Morales go down, talk to the old Tony Stark, kill that old Tony Stark, universe gets reset. Peter Parker, Tom Holland, can't face being Spider-Man anymore, retires, passes the mantle to Miles Morales.
Oh, motherfucking shit. I mean, it's batshit. It's definitely not going to happen, but wouldn't it be funny if it did?
Wouldn't it be cool if that's how it went down? This is the kind of stuff I like, is this kind of talk about Marvel movies.
Like the stuff we just make up.
Yeah, just comic book nonsense.
Well, Sean, we're going to finish off Movie Monday.
No, let's just end it there. I'm happy.
You've been trying to put off because of the sadness. But Sean, we're finishing with Jason Momoa and the Fast X movie. Moa is in this. He is the big villain. And he's in the official trailer. Now, this trailer, Sean, really caught my eye due to the fact that it's nearly 4 motherfucking minutes long. Almost too long for a trailer, if you ask me.
240 seconds of... I don't know what the fuck this is. Is this series actually good? Like, Is this just a joke that I've missed out on?
So, I think it's a joke that became good, but then became a joke. So, number 5, very good.
Yeah.
5 and 6 and 7 are like, I think they got the joke. Like, the gag was there, right? But then 8, not fantastic. And I think 9 has come out. Yeah, of course it has. This is Fast X. So 9 also came out. They're not great because everyone's just invincible at all times.
I mean, for example, it's a video game on God mode.
Yeah, number 8 is the one where The Rock holds a nuclear bomb that's sliding on the ice and redirects it to like. And then Dominic Toretto gets protected from a nuclear bomb by a car.
And in 9, aren't they like. Don't they go up in a rocket or some shit?
They go up in space, yeah. They go to space in 9.
But I think what annoys me about this is that Vin Diesel fully thinks this is the best thing that's ever happened.
I just don't like Vin Diesel.
No, like in real life and in the character, he thinks he's the coolest man alive.
And I think that hurts him. I do think it hurts him because he was... I don't know, he says some silly things, I think. As you said, he comes out like, this, as you said, is like the greatest cinematic experience you're going to have. They're just popcorn movies. 5, 6, 7 is some movies I would definitely recommend. I think they're dumb fun, but they're dumb fun.
There's a place for that, absolutely.
Yeah, 8 and 9 lose the run of themselves. They're dumb, but not so fun. They're too much dumb fun. And then this is number 10, and now you have like a fucking serious cast. You also have them adding Jason Momoa's character into number 5, I think, in the bank safe robbery. And that's why he wants to kill them. And I'm just going to say some of the lines from Dominic, or from Jason Momoa in this movie. Dominic Toretto, you're about to learn all about fear. You've built such a beautiful life filled with love and family. I never got that chance. You stole that from me. Now I'm going to break yours piece by piece.
was the trouble about having so many family is who do you choose the one to save?
I think he kidnapped his son in this. And then Dominic Toretto's like, literally La Familia have been kidnapped. And now I'm going to have to go save them. And there's a big drag race, apparently, to save his child.
Yeah, and not just that. And I didn't think I would see this in a trailer in the year 2023, Connor. Before the drag race takes off, three separate ass shots in the trailer.
Tell you, they've lost the run of themselves. They have. Like, I think they were in on the joke for three of them, and now they're out of the joke. Now they're the old man joking about their old joke.
Yeah, they're the Facebook meme now, thinking it's still funny.
Yeah.
Also, just the comments on this trailer. People are really pulling their A game here. I love the part where Dom raced against the Flash and went so fast he went back in time to save his family. Truly a masterpiece.
Do you want to know, before you read another comment, would you like to know a very small fact of the fact? Do you remember that the director left? Justin Lin decided to leave halfway through production. The new Fast X director had to rewrite the third act in 4 days before.
Is this the final one, or is there a Fast 10 Part 2 coming out?
I think there's a Fast 10 Part 2 coming out.
Right, okay. Let's hope they do their best with that one.
Yeah, yeah. So this one was written in 4 days, the whole last act. But normally the last act is the most batshit part of the whole movie. So I'm interested to know what they do here. Is there any more YouTube comments that have caught your eye? Because obviously you're a big Fast X fan.
They all follow the same format, Connor, which is wonderful. I love the part where Thanos says, "I am inevitable," and Dom says, "I am family." Incredible moments. I love the part where Walter White says, "I am the danger," while Dom says, "I am the family." Truly an amazing scene. I love the part where Thanos says, "You should have gone for the head." Dom replies, "I went for your family." It's all the same. It's just all the same.
Do you want the quote? I'm going to finish off. We're not even going to talk about the trailer. I'm literally going to finish off on the quote of the new director. And I want you to, this is, just to find his name, Louis Leterrier, I think is his name. And obviously he had to come in and finish the project on time after Justin Lin left halfway through production before they finished filming. Now he said, "I read the script 4 times on the plane." They were flying him out, by the way, to finish the movie. "I read the script 4 times on the plane and I said I had some ideas. And they said, 'Great, because the whole third act is changing. Can you rewrite it tonight?' I was literally on no sleep. I'd been on no sleep for days." Obviously, this was not going to be set in stone, but I was like, "Okay, yeah, I've got some ideas." And I started writing. And obviously, since the third act was changing, I need to change the first act. And when you rewrite the first act, the second act also has to go. So basically, I had to be on the fly rebuild the aeroplane. So he was directing the movie and changing the movie.
That's insanity. Like, there's no way this is going to be good then. They wrote a film in 4 days.
This guy might be the greatest filmmaker of our time.
Yeah. What's his name? Louis Leterrier?
Louis Leterrier.
French film director. What has he done? Tell me he's done something good. I knew the name was familiar.
What's he done?
He directed Incredible Hulk 2008, Connor. Oh, Jesus, lads.
Where are you coming in here now?
Jeez, I'm back on board, I think.
I'm kind of back on board, lads.
Also did Now You See Me, that magic film.
A terrible movie. A terrible movie all around.
Transporter 2, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So far, so good.
Oh, man. And then some Asterix and Obelisk stuff as well. But my God, we've got Incredible Hulk director Louis Leterrier involved in Fast X.
Truly cinema's finest, if anyone has seen that movie.
France's finest, in my opinion.
Francis Ford Coppola copied off this guy. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, the Lumiere brothers, they invented cinema just so that this man could cook.
Just so he could cook up the Incredible Hulk.
And cook up he did.
Cook up he did. Sean, that's it for Movie Mondays this week. Our non-Super Bowl trailer talk episode.
Hell yeah, this is going to do so well in terms of the algorithm.
Yay!
Connor, would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We will be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thank you to everyone over on the Patreon who continues to support the show. Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Fun Facts with Waffles, Outera New Zealand has the world's only alpine parrot, it's called Ikea and the flock can strip a car, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helmroos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die, Connor and Lorraine had completely forgot to shorten their long nickname until catching up on the podcast recently, Russ, I'm considering moving to a mattress-based diet in an attempt to end Mr. Blobby for good, Parfit, and Jackson Bruheim. Thank you all very, 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 very much for your continued support. We really do appreciate it. Link to the Patreon is in the description if you would like to join us there. You can also go to the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is a number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help with the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Conor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.